All right, I'm Jason Whitlock, and that's Marcellus Wiley back from vacation. That dude.
Yes, sir.
All right, happy 4th of July. Welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Coming up, we'll tell you if Kevin Durant's decision to leave hurt the Warriors' feelings. But we start with free agency. Kawhi Leonard, he's making the same inadvertent mistake LeBron James made 9 years ago. Kawhi is courting polarization. Most basketball fans love LeBron James before the hey, look at me, narcissistic drama of the decision. No doubt in my mind, LeBron's intentions were good. With the ESPN televised decision, LeBron wanted to bring attention to and raise money for the Boys and Girls Club. The road to polarization is paved with good intentions and some media organization applauding the ego explosion. I don't remotely question Kawhi's motives here. He's making a huge decision that was complicated by Toronto's improbable run to a title. But Kawhi watch is starting to resemble LeBron's 2009 decision, Dwight Howard's 2012 indecision, and Kevin Durant's 2016 Hamptons betrayal. These drawn-out NBA free agent circuses serve the media, not the player. You want to know why LeBron doesn't come close to selling as many Nikes as Michael Jordan and has to pretend to be an angry social justice warrior to boost his relevance? Because he alienated a good chunk of his basketball fan base with the decision. Dwight Howard transformed himself from Superman into a laughingstock with the free agent mess he made 7 years ago. And well, Durant just fled the Bay Area to work in Brooklyn in a futile attempt to recover from justifiably ditching Russell Westbrook. Thanks to free agency, these NBA superstars keep accidentally soaking themselves in polarization, and the media keep misleading them into believing being a villain is good for them and good for basketball. This is just a misreading of history. America still loves the good guys the most. That's why critics and moviegoers all agreed that the movie Suicide Squad stunk.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad was the movie about all the bad guys from the DC comic books. They got released from jail to save the world. We don't want to be saved by bad guys. We prefer Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and the Black Panther. We prefer Michael Jordan. Jordan wasn't polarizing. Neither were Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Over a 20-year period, that trio of good guys nearly lifted the NBA's popularity to the level of the NFL's. LeBron was next. He's a natural good guy who fell into the role of villain by accident and incompetence. The televised spectacle of the decision produced a fan backlash of animosity that nearly crippled King James his first year in Miami. It certainly played a role in his mental meltdown in the finals against Dallas. If Kawhi leaves Toronto to join the Lakers, he won't face the level of anger directed at LeBron, but Kawhi won't reach his full potential as a basketball ambassador. That's what LeBron gave up in 2010. He can't reach everyone, so he no longer even tries. LeBron and his media disciples write his critics off as haters or bigots. The NBA has been forced to follow the lead of its king and has tried to sell the narrative that teams you can hate are as good as a transcendent winning superstar everyone can love. Hopefully, the young guy Zion Williamson will settle this debate very soon.
Oh, here you go.
All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analyst Ketino Mobley and Bleacher Report's Rick Bucher. Marcellus, welcome back.
Thank you.
Would signing with the Lakers make Kawhi a bit polarizing?
I'll be remiss if I didn't say it feels good to be home, brothers. But as
only,
Rick,
only man who comes from vacation to work a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
Only man I know.
I've been going 3 weeks and I come back day one holiday backwards. Let's say this: will he be polarizing if he comes to the Lakers, leaves Toronto? Absolutely not. Think about it. If he goes to any of the LA teams, he's going to be able to play basketball and then let the entertainment value be taken over by his locale. Think about it. This is Tinseltown. They're going to try and bring that out of him and extract that from him. But in reality, this is a guy who's just going to play basketball and go home. And everything else is going to be dressed up around him, about him. And especially if he's a Laker, he'll be third fiddle in terms of personality and demand in terms of reach. So here's the thing about Kawhi that I love so much. And it's amazing this is happening in our society today, that it's no longer a virtue to be patient. Because of Twitter, because of the media, because of everyone's efforts to know instantaneously what you're thinking and what you're doing, that we're now going to make Kawhi Leonard the bad guy for actually taking his time through an important decision. It's just amazing that Kawhi is doing it the old school way, is doing it the correct way, but now is going to get demonized to some degree just because he's doing the right thing. To me, not polarizing in one bit. Wherever he lands is going to be about basketball.
Hopefully
basketball.
Clippers uniform throw that.
You already know that. I'm trying to say it.
Marcellus, it's good to have you back because I've been fighting these battles on my own for the last couple of days.
Oh, okay.
The fact of the matter is he's already been a polarizing figure. This is not he's going to become one. A year ago, he was going up against and getting crossways with one of the most revered organizations and head coaches in the league. Yeah. So this is not a new turn. It is simply
more
Kawhi is doing what he's, well, Kawhi's just following his own lead. And everybody's trying to figure out, well, what's behind this? He's just making a decision. What I appreciate is the fact that he said, you know what? I'm not going to look at this until my season is over.
Yeah.
KD, Kyrie Irving, any number of these guys, they were making decisions months ago, if not last summer. Yeah. Kawhi stuck to what he said he was going to do, which is that I'm not going to pay attention to this until my season is over, which is why it is taking so much time, especially with the Lakers changing things, bringing Anthony Davis in, and Kawhi winning a championship. All of that changes the dynamic of what he's considering that he's going to do. So I don't think this is him reaching for attention in this case.
Keep in mind, I don't question his motives, and I keep saying inadvertent, it's just a product of this new normal that LeBron created that I think he's going to give collateral damage.
Well, I agree with you. If he goes to the Lakers, I don't think the process in and of itself. But KD made his announcement, what, through his Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. He tried.
LeBron, yes. LeBron, LeBron did it with the decision.
Yes.
If Kawhi somehow steps out there and does the Kawhi special, then I'll stand down and say I had it wrong.
Okay.
My thinking is he's going to make his decision, he's going to tell the team, and they're going to keep it moving.
You know, I think I love both points, Marcellus, Rick. I love both points.
What about me?
I don't
the table setter.
Listen, I ain't been with y'all in a minute. I love you. But I don't agree with your point at all. Listen, he's already been polarizing.
Yeah.
He's who he is. What I believe in people is you are who you are. When he was in San Antonio, you hear a peep out of him, but they were bashing him. He gets to Toronto, you hear a peep out of him, and he wins a title. Even if he comes to the Lakers, say if he comes to the Lakers, he's going to be who he was for the last 20-something odd years. That's just who he is. Now, Marcellus made a great point. Because of social media, instant gratification is there. So everybody, July 1st was the first day you can start doing all this. It's only the 4th. It's 3 days later.
Yeah.
He needs to take his time. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Kyrie Irving. He's not all those emotional guys where during the season they're like, you know, they're mixing all their emotions in with their play and blah, 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 blah. He's like, you know what? I'm going to wait till after the season. Now, you know what? Oh, it's the first day? I'm going to wait a couple more days. I'm going to see where I'm going to go for my future. I don't see anything wrong with that.
I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep saying inadvertent.
Mm-hmm.
He's a byproduct of what started in 2010 with LeBron, where these off-season free agent decisions have become, hell, damn, they're bigger than the games and a huge storyline. And so I do think he's staying in character, Kawhi. But if he comes to the Lakers, there's going to be some heat coming his way, LeBron's way. LeBron's going to take most of it.
It was heat coming his way when he was in San Antonio and didn't play for all those games.
Now that's true.
It was heat every single day.
Yeah. I don't think
and
that,
he still ain't say nothing.
I think what's going to be different about this situation, then let's talk about, you said LeBron, when he left Cleveland the first time. You talk about KD leaving Oklahoma. You talk about Dwight Howard leaving Orlando, backstabbing the coach, lying about it, getting caught, and still departing. All three of those situations, unfinished business in terms of success and championship. Mm. This is a guy who said, you can say nothing to me because I gave you everything. Yeah. And I think a fan base that has been this starved is going to have to sit there and respect his wishes and respect his legacy, even if it's only 1 year.
Here's the issue, though. When you come to the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's why I'm saying if he goes to the Lakers, he's going to become more polarizing and polar. If he goes to the Clippers, I don't think that'll be the case. I think people will be like, well, he won a championship in Toronto, and now he's going to join the Clippers and take them to a title. You join the Lakers dynasty and all that, I think there's going to be a level of heat.
I think there's a certain faction out there that doesn't like the super team concept, and he's done it without the super team. So they will take issue with that. He owns that right now. No one else. I mean, one of the things we love about Kawhi Leonard is he's quiet, and two, he's like, as I've been told, you want to play with me? Cool. You don't want to play with me? Cool. I'm going to do my thing. Mm. If he goes to the Lakers, then it's going to feel as if, oh, he kind of caved. He needs somebody. We like the fact that Kawhi Leonard doesn't seem. Now, the one thing that levels that is he's also talked about wanting to go home. If it was any other situation, you would look at it and say, well, he's doing it for one reason and one reason only. He wants to play with a super team. He wants to have somebody who's going to carry the weight with him.
He was basically playing with a super team when he's with San Antonio Trailblazers.
Yeah, he was.
And he still got MVP. Fiddle. That's one. Two is, right. You got to think about Kawhi's psyche and psyche of life. There's people that we all met that we all have. Say you had a bad day. You had that bad day. Guess what? You don't let nobody know and you're still upbeat. There's people who had a bad day and they let everybody know. He's the type of person, he's so mentally strong. I don't care if he does come to the Lakers and this circus with LeBron and AD and Rich Paul and Rob Pelinka and Kobe and Magic. It doesn't matter. He is who he is. He's not going to change because the Heat was for real when he was in San Antonio and the best coach ever in Greg Popovich and Tony Parker is giving him slack and Manu Ginobili's playing hard and he's on one leg and Tim Duncan. And guess what? He still don't say anything. He still come to Toronto, still backlash from everybody out there, and he still wins the championship.
I want to protect the Lakers in this conversation.
Don't do it.
Says the Clippers guy.
Says the Clippers guy. In this respect, I think being polarizing, he's going to get outsized by LeBron and Anthony Davis, who have certainly given some fuel to the fire of them being polarizing, the T-shirts and all the passive aggressiveness and the departures and the way that they did it is completely different than Kawhi. Kawhi will land here and be third fiddle in terms of that polarizing mindset. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the Chris Bosh in what happened. And guess what? Chris Bosh was third place in terms of who you wanted to throw the darts at. And Chris Bosh got
That's what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Bosh was the third. And compared to what Dwayne Wade went through, and certainly LeBron, that was small in comparison. And I think you talk about Kawhi's mentality and the way he handles his business, I think it's going to disappear.
You know what I hope? Seriously? The way Kawhi Leonard handles his business and the way his professionalism with basketball, I hope they market that more for a lot of these emotional young guys out here, opposed to the other ones that show so much emotion and don't really focus on ball like they say they want to do. I hope they really market him and say, you know what, do that.
Let me move on to one other thing. Rick and I had a big argument earlier in the week, Marcellus. I want you to jump on my side here. I contend he thinks the NBA needs a villainous team and villains make the NBA better.
That's Brooklyn.
I don't. I think great, transcendent, winning superstars is the thing. I'm tired of the super teams and the super villainous teams. Does the NBA need a team you can hate?
Well, if I jump on your side, here go another earthquake. Let me just say that part. Yeah, they do. And look, I know where you're coming from. And I come from the same place. You have to always remember when you're talking about professional athletics, there's a division between the entertainment product and the sport. The integrity of the sport, the purists, the ones who played the game, the ones who love the game just for X's and O's, they're on a different side than those who are about the entertainment value, which is about storyline, which is about the I's and the U's, the people, the drama. I want the emotional arc. They need villains. So for us, we're ground floor. We're all into the game. We're watching it for the love and the purity. Those 10,000 feet above, they just want to see the smoke.
He's a Pacers fan, right?
Yeah.
They want
Detroit was beating y'all up a little bit, wasn't they?
Who?
Detroit Pistons was beating y'all up a little bit, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were the villains, weren't they? Okay, there we go.
And that's who we're satisfied.
There we go. We need that.
So to be at your greatest as an entertainment product, as a business, You got to combine forces. You need them both.
The reason the Suicide Squad didn't work is because they took bad guys and they tried to make them good guys. Yeah. And we weren't quite buying into that. Exactly. They're now the bad guys that became good guys that are going to beat the other bad guys. That was too confusing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you have to have, and by the way, this whole argument wouldn't work unless you vilified me. I like, you need me as the villain in this thing.
There it is.
But look.
No, you made yourself the villain.
Exactly.
Hulk Hogan, for the longest time, why does pro wrestling work?
Brother.
You have to have a heel. You can't just have all good guys. And Hulk Hogan, for the longest time, he had King Kong Bundy and The Undertaker and all those guys. And then when that started to turn, it was like, you know what? It's your turn to be the heel. We need somebody to be the heel. Yeah. Randy Macho Man Savage is now the guy. And no, I don't know that much about wrestling. I had to look it all up. But the fact of the matter is, Rick I know Flair, how that
Dusty
dynamic
Rhodes,
works.
All of them. Yeah.
And this is the same thing. It's that entertainment value.
Yeah.
Catino, you agree with this?
I agree totally. I think Brooklyn's going to be the villains, though.
They're not going to be good enough to be the villains,
I'm
particularly
with you on that.
Year one. And then year two, you know, KD be working himself back in. If the villain thing were, I'm just telling you, to me, Michael Jordan, greatest thing to ever hit the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I say that as a Pacer fan who hated him when he was playing. But it's the greatest thing to hit the NBA. Never polarizing. Could reach everybody. Never the bad guy.
But people,
Magic, Larry Bird.
You can't compare.
But people still wanted to see Michael get beat.
Yes.
They got tired of the Bulls winning. Mm-hmm. They got tired of the Warriors
they
winning.
They loved it when Orlando beat them.
Look, I rooted against Michael all the time.
Okay.
But it was just out of pure, like, jealousy and envy.
But that's what
like
the Lakers
villain.
Are going to be.
That's what a villain is.
That's part of the Lakers are
attributes.
A cheat code, man.
But, okay.
I won't respect
So were the Warriors.
So the
Warriors
were
considered a cheat code?
No, not, well, at the end. At the end, when they got KD. But the first, on the way up, and again, at the end of the day, there's a reason why the NBA can't reach the levels it did under Michael Jordan.
But you know, yes, you're right. The Warriors made the same turn as Hulk Hogan did. They went from the beloved to the heel.
Yeah.
But you know who was the heel before they were? The Cleveland Cavaliers were. We were happy to see the Warriors knock off LeBron because he had done the super team thing. And then he goes to Cleveland and he says, let's get Andrew Wiggins out here. I want Kevin Love. Oh, I got Kyrie Irving. I'm building another super team.
I cannot wait for Zion Williamson to get here fully and take over this league.
Oh, no,
Y'all going to
He's not
going
to reinvent the wheel. Let's go back to the 80s when Boston and the
Lakers, they both.
He's going to be the most exciting thing to hit the NBA since Jordan. Watch.
Most exciting? You're saying LeBron wasn't as exciting or more exciting than Jordan?
No.
When he
no.
hit the NBA? Yes.
Aaron Gordon's exciting.
Yo, LeBron day one was more exciting than Jordan.
I ain't been here in a minute, Jace, but come on. You serious?
Zion Williams is going to be a
force. You forgot about LeBron James.
LeBron was more exciting day one than Michael Jordan was day one
you
NBA.
You remember Vince Carter in the early
Michael Jordan was going against Ron Harper in terms of who's
better.
You
remember Vince
Carter? You remember that?
You're right. Vince Carter? You're right. I'm not the villain. You are.
Yes.
All right, you want to party like a football star? Saturday, July 20th at the one and only Dre's Beach Club on the Las Vegas Strip. You can join Ty Dolla $ign, that dude, Marcellus Wiley, and the entire Speak for Yourself crew at the pool party of the summer. 11 stories high above the Strip on the world-famous rooftop, Ty Dolla $ign will perform. That dude will guest DJ. The hottest servers in the industry will pour you a drink. For tickets and more information, visit dresgroup.com. Dre's, Ty Dolla $ign, and Speak for Yourself. It's the party you don't want to miss.
Hydration situation. Let's do it.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Rick Bucher, and Catino Mobley are back.
I didn't hear you.
Catino, we did invite you to the party, but you're playing basketball.
Yeah.
All right, time now for a big story.
Tripping.
Let's move to the Warriors, who did their best to put a good face on losing Kevin Durant in free agency, but they might have had some hard feelings after all. Reportedly, Steph Curry cut short a trip to China to try and convince KD to stay. But before Steph's plane landed, news of Durant's decision to join the Nets had already leaked. Curry met with KD anyway just to say goodbye. But according to Bill Simmons, the team took Durant's behavior personally. All right, the question here is, do you think the Warriors felt betrayed by Durant's decision to go to Brooklyn?
Yes, they felt betrayed. Absolutely, they did. But now I'm starting to feel betrayed because they won't admit that they felt betrayed. And they're trying to change the narrative. Mm. And it's getting disappointing with the Warriors, who from the beginnings, the origins, the good field story, drafted players. You add a cherry on top in free agency with Kevin Durant, which shouldn't have been a negative, but some deemed it as such. But it was just an amazing story. Went on a dynastic run. Respect. But the way that it crumbled and how pride came before the fall and how they weren't transparent with their players, and now they're not being transparent with their fans. And I think that this is a telling sign of why it all crumbled. Mm. If they were smart right now to pay it forward, just admit you're heartbroken. Just admit even the greats lose sometimes. Mm. And if they could do that, I think they would do wonders for them.
I think they're holding their tongue, though, Marcellus, because they don't want to bicker with Kevin Durant after they did him wrong. And so I think Bill Simmons is onto some truth here. Mm. I don't agree with the wording. They took it personal. I think I agree with Rick. I think I heard you kind of say this, Rick. I think they feel like Durant just made one of the dumbest decisions in the world, and they're just sitting there baffled. You left us for Brooklyn?
That's arrogance. That could be arrogance.
But it also could, there could be some truth on their side, because again, you left us for Brooklyn, yeah, the number two team in the NBA?
That's not in
New York. And you left us for Kyrie after the mess he just created in Boston? I think they feel like he made a dumb decision and they can't say it.
Fair. There's also some potential legal issue in play here because of the injury.
Yes.
Where they, to me, are not admitting how they feel is that they run right out there. And it's one thing to say, hey, Kevin, appreciate what you did for us. But to then to go to the point of saying no one will ever wear his number while Joe Lacob is on watch here, essentially retiring that number, you don't have to jump. That's going too far. That's trying to pretend, and I felt this all along. Mm. They've tried to pretend that the relationship was better than it was. And we knew it was troubled from the beginning of the year, and they took issues. This is what really hurts them. He did them the exact same way he did Russell Westbrook in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. And they looked at that and said, well, Russell wasn't always the greatest teammate and you guys butted heads and you didn't have success there. But you came in here, we welcomed you, we made room for you even though we were already a championship team, and we got you the rings that you so badly needed to validate yourself. And you still stepped out on us without even giving us an opportunity to say, hey, this is why you should stay. Like, made the decision and never gave them an opportunity to make their case. That's what's hurt them. And what bothers me is, just go ahead. Can we just be honest for once and say, yeah, you know what? We feel like we were done wrong here by the way he did it. What's wrong with that?
Because you can't say it because the guy just tore his Achilles because you misled him.
That plays into Jason's argument, yeah. Fair. You're not going to start the engagement because you know how this will end.
Fair enough.
Right.
Then don't try to paper it over as if all is well.
I'm
good with that.
Thank you.
Just stay quiet as opposed to trying to convince me of something that I look at the situation and I go, it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Stay quiet. I believe in that one. For somebody to pressure you as a grown-up to be able to go do something, I don't know about that one. Right? If I feel as though that I'm not healthy enough to play, I'm not letting anyone talk me into it, right? And I'm not going to blame someone else when something bad happens about it. That's one. That's two. Now, as far as...
So let me just be... You're putting blame on both sides.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm putting blame on both sides. Mm. So then now let's go to the Russell Westbrook thing. Let's go to that. I believe in pattern. If you're not an adult to talk to one of your best friends, your closest friends at the time and teammates at the time when you're going to leave, when you go to Golden State, you think you're going to do the same thing? I would hope you would grow as an individual, right, as a man. But you didn't. You did the same exact thing. So what does that tell me? That you run from issues and you put fires everywhere. That's what it tells me, right? So at the end of the day, I'm looking at this like, oh, yes, Warriors, you do feel a certain way. You do feel betrayed because you had a rough situation with OKC, with Kevin Durant with OKC, and you say, you know what, come with us. We're going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to give you Silicon Valley. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you championships.
And they did.
Yep. And the thing is, it's like once a cheater, always a cheater thing. If this is what you did before, What make you think it's different over here?
Well, let me push back on that pressure argument, because a lot of times we think that our birth certificate graduates us to not feeling pressure. I'm sitting here at 44 years old still feeling pressure in certain things. And I tell you how it really incorporates into your life no matter what your age is. Mm-hmm. The devil, pressure, negative, whatever you want to call it, only shows up wearing a red suit and a pitchfork once. Mm-hmm. Then the other times they come at the door, it comes in the way you want it. Mm-hmm. It comes in a way that can seduce you. It comes in a way that you're going to open the door. Right. And Kevin Durant, whether it's vanity, whether it's his success, whether it's just some kind of personal demon he's dealing with, whatever it could be, mm-hmm. it's going to come in the way that Durant will open that door. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that Durant is looking at this situation like, I did you wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, add up all the wrongs he feels, and he says, and I still owe you the apology or the higher road. Who does that?
My thing is,
I wouldn't have done
it. And that. I agree with you, but my thing is, you owe, not saying you owe me, but at least give me the respect of meeting
when
with us one last time.
Given?
No, we've given you so much respect. Yeah. One last time, just meet with us. You can say no all you want.
Come on, Coutinho, man. This guy, in order to try to win a championship, mm-hmm. and he may have been foolish, mm-hmm. but he went out there, beat up, and risked his entire financial and career future.
I understand.
And we saw crocodile tears from Bob Myers afterwards. We saw Steve Kerr, the big social, I'm not commenting on, still ain't commented on it, on his role in that at all. Uh-huh. And again, it's just like what Marcellus just said in terms of Golden State dressed up and came to KD in a way that he opened up his doors. And you know what? He got played. He tore his Achilles. His future's in doubt. Mm. And if this guy's a little pissed off right now and wants to just be a little ice cold right now, I don't blame him.
I don't blame you for being ice cold. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying everybody takes a page out of Kawhi Leonard's book. But at the end of the day, listen, if you got hurt or if you didn't get hurt, I'm going to ask you all three this. Would Golden State still signed you?
Allegedly.
Yes or no?
Yeah,
they would have signed him.
They would have signed him.
So that means, that's telling me, Kawhi Leonard, like a Kawhi Leonard thing. If I'm not healthy enough, I'm a grown man. That's one. Two is the OKC situation. Why don't you give them at least a chance to say no?
Let me say one thing, Rick, before. You know they had no choice but to give him the money after that injury. Because if they don't, nobody's going to.
Guilted into that one.
The other part is, yes, I'm getting the money. I would have got the money anyway. Mm. You've taken a year from me, and you misled me. If things are as we have been told,
Andre Iguodala,
you misled me on what was going to happen, and now I'm going to miss a year of basketball. And for a guy like Kevin Durant, where hooping is all that he thinks about,
yes,
that's a hard thing to face. I have no problem with his decision to go play for the Nets. It's a free world. He's earned that.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants. We had this debate yesterday about weak moves, strong moves, whatever. But it's your move, and we'll ultimately, it'll be determined whether it was a smart move or whether it wasn't. I am not going to fault him for that. What we don't know is, did the Warriors go to meet him? Did Steph fly there in hopes that he could have a meeting and turn him?
Right.
Or, well, I mean, what? And did KD say, yeah, hey, come, I'll listen? Or was that something that the Warriors were doing on their own? Because as I look at it, KD made it pretty clear long before that last day what he was intending to do. So if they're coming in for a Hail Mary at the last second and he decides not to let that happen, I can't fault him for that.
I'm going to defend KD and the Warriors in this scenario. The Warriors had no idea the injury was going to happen. And so if the Warriors said, damn, now that he's been injured and he's going to have to sit out a year, maybe we have a shot at retaining him. He's let us know all year that he was leaving, but maybe now, injured, we'll be the guys that love you and rehabilitate you for this next year. We'll give you a max contract, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that made them think they had a shot and a chance. And I got to say this, and I'm defending KD for being irritated. I don't like the decision of leaving. I don't like the decision of going to Brooklyn and just winging it with Kyrie Irving and an organization that's never won anything. I don't like that decision. Sometimes, again, and this is very tough, because what is he, 29, 30 years old? I certainly didn't know this at 30. I didn't know this at 30. But sometimes you got to work with people you don't like. No, go ahead.
This is an amazing decision by him, because he just watched Kawhi Leonard give a organization a championship and what that did for his legacy, despite being polarizing just the day before, right? Mm. So then KD's like, I'm not getting my fair due winning these championships in Golden State. True. So you had to go somewhere. That's why there was a conversation to Kawhi and him to the Clippers possibly. You have to go somewhere, and it has to go from 0 to 60. Mm. And that's what Brooklyn gives him an opportunity. I think what happened with KD was Steph, that was a cosmetic Hail Mary. In football terms, this is why you do the hook and lateral. There's times when you say, hey, we only got one play left, let's throw the Hail Mary. And someone finally said, that ain't gonna work. You know what to do? Throw it 5 yards and just keep throwing it around and hopefully you get somewhere. That was cosmetic. That wasn't genuine.
And
on top of that, the Brooklyn Nets doctor did the surgery. They already told us where he was going. I'm sorry.
And if I were KD, I would have thrown a different Hail Mary. I think their minds was made up on New York a year ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I think, this is speculation.
And that's why they got irritated.
This is speculation on my part. Mm-hmm. I think Rich Kleiman didn't get what he wanted from the New York Knicks. And that's why KD's with the Brooklyn Nets. Instead, and to me, my backup would have plan would have been the LA Clippers and Steve Ballmer and Doc Rivers and an organization that's on this kind of trajectory. That would have been my play.
So one thing, I was hearing that KD was pissed about how the injury went down. I was hearing that shortly after.
Yeah.
The Warriors were denying, oh, we haven't heard anything like that. Hmm. Okay, how hard did you try?
Hmm.
Because I was hearing it. I knew how he felt about it. I think they knew too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second part is, and this is where it really kind of takes a bend, where you're saying, this is how I would have made the maneuver. We've got guys that are in their 20s and barely 30 who are now making decisions that impact entire organizations and that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know about you guys, but when I was 30 years old, for me to make decisions that were that impactful and that broad, dude, I couldn't figure out. It took me three shots at figuring out what I was going to wear on a Friday night going out to the club, right?
Say it.
So that's what we forget. Like, we see all the trappings, and we see the money, and we see the fame. But what's the life experience in making these monstrous business decisions?
And that's a good point. I'm not faulting KD for going to Brooklyn. No. I love KD. I'm not faulting none of that.
At all.
I'd rather him with the Clippers. I'd rather him with Golden State. But my point I'm trying to make is, if I made a decision with OKC where I didn't really converse with Russell Westbrook or anybody there and just leave and have a decision like that, especially after losing to a team that you were up 3-1 on, and I'm with Golden State, it's a 50-50 thing. You decided to play, they pressed you into playing. Whatever that the story is, I understand that. But you have to take blame. Like, I got to take blame with situations, whether relationships or whatever it is. What I'm disturbed about is, as when you're growing as a person, all the slack you took with the decision you made to go to Golden State, you should at least, as a grown-up, not saying you're not a grown-up, but you should at least evolve into a situation like, listen, Steph, you ain't got to come back from China. I'm cool. I'm going to Brooklyn.
Whitlock and Wiley joined now by former Pro Bowl linebacker LeVar Arrington. Let's move to the NFL, where Roger Goodell met with Ezekiel Elliott yesterday to discuss Zeke's latest off-field incident, where he was caught on video pushing a security at a Las Vegas music festival back in May. Goodell did not suspend Zeke, and the running back apologized to the security guard and promised to do better, writing, quote, I need to work harder to ensure I do not put myself in compromised situations in the future. I am rededicating myself to use all of the resources that the league has made available. But in the end, it is up to me, and I am determined not to be in this position again. Question here to these two football gentlemen. Has Zeke learned a lesson?
Oh, definitely learned a lesson. People have to really dive into the details of what it means to say growing pains. It's a gradual process. Just looking at the incident when it occurred in Vegas, all the way through his meeting with Roger Goodell being preempted by an apology online, shows that gradual process, shows a guy who wasn't even in full Ezekiel Elliott of prior throughout this process. Think about it. When you saw him with his girlfriend, You saw the reservation, even though he was blocking her with his body. But you didn't see the overt strike. You didn't see him going into something different. You saw the contemplation and some of the trepidation that comes from, I shouldn't be doing this, but still going through that process of learning and discovery. He's not full in terms of probably learning all the lessons. But it is that process that I see him graduating to and graduating from what he used to be, at least in terms of image. So I think this is a positive step.
Go ahead, LeVar.
I think it's wise words, and I think it's a glass half full approach on Marcellus's part. But I think the reality here is if you have to start the segment off with the statement of, has he learned a lesson from this time? You're already off to a bad start, in my opinion, right? A grown man, you got to start it off by saying, has he learned his lesson, right? So to me, I think that that's bad. Secondly, there is a history of these actions taking place, however moderate or mild they may be, the apologies, what you are on the nation's most popular and most recognizable team, arguably speaking. And you have to take knowing that your celebrity of being one of the main guys on that team is going to follow you. The camera's going to always be there, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's TMZ, whatever it may be, whether it's Fox, the cameras are always going to be present. Conventional wisdom is when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, leave. Those are the two things that you have to take into serious consideration. And I think that it's very difficult to continue to give somebody, you know, what you would call a pass, or did they learn their lesson yet? You know, as a head coach of a high school team, I tell my guys, the decisions that you make will ultimately impact you far beyond the moment that you had that lapse in judgment. So whether he's learned the lesson or not, it stains his brand. He has to live with the fact that he has not done what he's needed to do to protect his brand and what he's done and accomplished in life.
See, I always think you can learn a lesson or you can dodge a bullet. And I think he just dodged another bullet. Mm. And there's no consequences here in this case from Goodell, which I kind of agree with. But the Cowboys, there could be consequences from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl, I love and respect Jerry Jones, but he wants to win a Super Bowl so bad that, you know, he'll overlook anything as it relates to Ezekiel Elliott. And so I just think he's dodged a bullet here, which I think is going to make it harder for him to learn a lesson from
this. You know, I think it's an interesting point, because isn't that what historically, and this is not a shot because I'm a Penn Stater, but isn't that historically how things are handled at Ohio State as well? You know, if you get into a little
and
bit of trouble,
Penn State.
You try. Well,
yeah, definitely. Well, Lord, don't jump over your own. Now.
Well,
Lord,
I didn't have anything to do with that. But speaking on player conduct.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep it on player conduct for this.
Urban Meyer. All right? Yeah. There was a pattern.
Guys get in trouble, and there are no real consequences that take place. And so if you're looking at it as from your statement, the perspective of there being a pattern. It could be considered to be you didn't get caught up the way that you could.
For those who said that Ezekiel Elliott was out of control or introduction to the negative side of his image, there's two ways to stop a car. Get off the gas or pump the brakes. This is a guy who in that moment with that video showed me he may not have pumped the brakes yet, but he's certainly off the gas in terms of you can see the calculation. You can see this is a guy who's starting to realize. Thank you. So he's learned a lesson. Time to pump the brakes. Please do it.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, the most fun you can have talking sports.
Yeah, yay.
Whitlock and Wiley, joined by LeVar Arrington and Rick Bucher. Time to get antisocial. All right, Darnell, what you got, big boy?
Oh, yeah, what's up, Marcel? I ain't seen you since the NBA Finals, man.
You were damn right. You was eating dinner at that Barton Dimes event.
I was, man.
You didn't come to celebrate your boy. You came to get the food.
Let's get it going, man. You're going to call me out. All right, let's start off with Kawhi Leonard, who has everyone glued to their phones waiting for updates on his decision.
Man.
Fans were literally lining up outside a hotel in Canada waiting for Kawhi to meet with Raptors president Musai Ujiri. Twitter chimed in with all types of funny posts about Drake making this pitch for Kawhi to stay. Sports reporter Mark Stein tweeted out that the Raptors haven't backed off one bit and that Drake is mounting his own personal recruiting campaign on top of whatever the team is already doing. So I'm going to toss it to you, Marcellus.
Huh?
What celebrity would you bring out to get Kawhi on the Clippers?
Oh, you talking celebrity, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, you like everybody
else. Marshall. Oh, no.
Oh, we got these jokes, too, huh? Wow, y'all haven't graduated yet. Y'all still talking about fame. I'm talking about fortune. I'm talking about the richest owner in sports. I'm talking about 44 billion strong. And if y'all need a name, how about just look at every damn basketball ever created? Who's on that?
Clipper Darryl.
We bring in Jerry West, and we bring in Steve Ballmer. We got fame and fortune. And it's L.A., baby, minus the earthquakes.
I think I'm bringing Lonnie Gonzalez. He's supposedly the best tire salesman in L.A., South Coast Auto Clinic. Because I'm thinking a guy like Kawhi, if I can get you a good deal on a set of radials, man, that's going to put me over the top with Kawhi.
I'm going to go with Riri. I mean, why not go with somebody who could sing real well,
right.
Probably smells nice, walks onto the court real well,
okay,
carries
yeah.
themselves in a very professional
that
way.
That's how we roll.
Boy, it gets in trouble.
Yeah. That's how we roll. That ain't the Clipper way.
All right, moving on to the gridiron. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns star QB Baker Mayfield hasn't really slowed down his antics since coming to the NFL, but we could be seeing a changed man very soon. Mm. Baker's fiance posted on Instagram that the two are set to get married this weekend. And reportedly, it's nearby in Malibu. Just catch you when to crash the party.
You know it.
But, guys, do y'all think that tying a knot will mellow Baker out?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's accountability. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Accountability partner.
You got to cut them nights out, the wing dinners in half at least, right? But then he posted on his account. Let's get to the, I read everything. I want to make sure he posted on his account, too. Don't get out there too far. All right.
She's from Nebraska, so I got to give points that she's going to be a leveling. But.
Yeah.
Sometimes a partner in crime could take you the other way too. So
if it's
we'll
not
see.
Broke, don't fix it. Right? Mm. He's 24 years old.
Mm.
You know, he's number one pick in the draft.
Granddaddy Arrington talking.
Let's see. He won the Heisman in
Oklahoma. Your royal oats.
No, I'm not saying that, but after getting engaged after your rookie season, you're basically saying, look, I'm taking a step in that direction. So I don't think he has to mellow out who he is as a human being. Yeah. Enjoy marriage, but you are winning.
You're divorced, right, Lamar?
No, I've been married for 14 years.
Oh, my bad.
And I'm still okay.
He said he's divorced.
And I have not mellowed out.
We got to check out the Riri stuff, man. We'll see where you're at.
Thinking with celebrations. Obviously, today is the 4th of July, so there will be tons of barbecue and fireworks, both of I'm a huge fan of. Turns out everybody doesn't feel the same way. We're going to scratch that.
Okay. You already celebrating.
I'm already feeling
you're
good.
You're in the zone.
I'm already feeling good. All right, but nah, yeah. Earlier this week, we know Whitlock's hair was trending all over Twitter. People believing it was fake, and there was tweets comparing his new hairstyle to Nick Wright's. Yesterday, Nick defended himself. Take a listen.
Oh, man.
I cannot vouch for Jason Whitlock's hair.
Yeah.
But don't be including me in these blog posts saying Jason Whitlock and Nick Wright have curious hair growth.
Yeah.
Mine has been day by day by day.
Whitlock said his hair is real, but even if it is real, I wouldn't take credit for it because it ain't good hair. This right here is real hair.
Oh, man, Whitlock, what's your response, man?
And say, CeCe, and blame CeCe for this because he took me here. I'm about to tell the truth. CeCe's always had a jealousy issue with me.
Ooh.
This goes all the way back to the 1990s. The Chiefs used to have training camp up in River Falls, Wisconsin, right next to Minneapolis.
All right.
I dated a few Vikings cheerleaders.
Oh, because you could.
A few?
I could. And right. CeCe, Randy Moss, John Randall, Corey, a lot of these guys had a problem with
you
me.
You wasn't back mellow
the
back then.
Yeah, but they had a lot of. So it's a jealousy issue. Right. That's all that.
You were singing with Kaminga when they couldn't, huh?
I blame it on Urlacher and Prime. They've been growing their hair out. Now they got everybody all motivated.
Urlacher wasn't growing it. He was buying it. And that ain't the wet and go, but that's as close as you get to wet and go. And I've been watching you grow and develop and mature that flat top. Mm. How dare they come and knock that Will Smith down?
That nigga's fake.
That ain't real.
I don't want to knock some of the black out of it, though. They do color it a little bit.
That's that oil sheen.
All right. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
All right, fellas. So in the first game of the Women's World Cup, the U.S. was criticized for running up the score 13-0 in a win over Thailand. But now everyone's upset about Alex Morgan's tea-sipping celebration after scoring a goal against England. So I want to ask you guys, do the Americans have an image problem?
I think they do have a bit of an image problem. And I'm going to...
I'm going to say, and I defended Megan Rapinoe earlier this week as being authentic, but look, if this were the American men's team behaving the way that these guys, that these women are, they would be getting lit up. Because this looks like what ugly, arrogant Americans doing too much celebrating, too much, hey, look at me stuff. And it goes back to the point I made a few weeks ago on the show about we got this thing in this world where we think only men can be bad. Mm. And only men can do bad things. And I'm like, no. There's toxic femininity, too. And there's anything that we can do, women can do just as well. And so, yeah, I think we're a little over the top here with our women's team. No different than, you know, with some men's teams we've had in professional sports.
I think the sentiment is laced with a little sexism. I think there are double standards in terms of some foreshadowing, getting on a bus before a game, sipping tea in England. Who wouldn't do that? And then you get into a moment of celebration when the average goal scored in a World Cup game is 1.4, and the World Cup is not every year. And this, you talk about how...
So you like what they're doing.
I like what they're doing, and I understand that the image issue, if you get into that murky world, you're never going to win it, because there are some countries who we always say show more personality. Mm-hmm. Then when you show too much personality, bring it back. So, look, just do you.
By the way, this is how you stay married. Not talking about Riri, but right? Double standard and all that.
Right.
Play it safe is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Thank
Smart,
you, sir.
What, thank you. What is more American than being arrogant when you are on top? Mm. And let's not forget that. Mm. They're the best in the world.
No question.
Ronaldo, look at all that he does.
Man.
Best player in the world. But he does some arrogant stuff. I have absolutely no problem with them acting out and acting up, because they're showing out on the field. They're getting it done. When you get it done on the field, you can say whatever the hell you want.
I like it.
First of all, I'm a big fan of Ariel Krieger, first of all. Number 11, she rocks them sticks, went to Penn State.
You know, I heard.
She's on the team.
We knew it.
I'm a big fan of this group, and you know what? They've come together. They're really close. They're really tight. And they really have a us-against-the-world type of mentality, and their fan base falls in line with it. A lot of people have come out and had criticisms ever since the whole White House conversation and different things like that. I almost feel like the topic is really coming from a place out of left field. It's not even really directed towards them and their play per se. It's directed towards things that have been said that possibly aren't considered to be politically correct, in my opinion. Keep playing. Keep doing what you're doing. Last I checked, there wasn't very much publicizing and advertisements and billboards all over the place saying to support and watch these young ladies compete for the pride of America. They are all Americans. They are representing our interests, and they're doing darn well doing it. I have no problem with it.
Do y'all remember the Dream Team, original Dream?
I had that written down. I had that written down.
Everybody
wrote. Yep.
Charles Barkley did a couple things early on, and he got criticized for. Mm-hmm. And again, this soccer team is really our female version of the Dream Team. They are that dominant. They won, 11, 12 straight, breaking some kind of World Cup record. They're the clear, overwhelming favorites to win the World Cup. And again, just like when the men's Dream Team, Charles Barkley got a little out of hand, there was some crit. Hey, man, don't do that. Y'all beating up on Angola,
right,
and things like that.
Croatia.
And when we were beating up 13-0 or whatever, 13-0, and all that celebrating.
Yeah, but when the shoe's on the other foot, like, there's no image issue when it's rare to see the shoe on the other foot. But when you're talking about dominance and when you're talking about a global game, it's those opportunities where you have to flex it. And it's I don't understand why that's a problem, because we're all entering with goodwill. We're all entering with free spirit to say, let's play.
With your best.
I'm going to defend them for this, though. Honest to goodness. Because, again, they're not getting paid like the men.
No.
And the only way to elevate your brand, perhaps, is to do some of this.
Get out your skin.
And to go out a little over the top. So maybe we put them in this position.
And a shirt came off last time, right? Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington is back with us. Let's return to the NFL, where the league and the Players Association are already knee-deep in negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement, with Jerry Jones reportedly taking a lead role in hammering out a new deal. Jerry's been at the forefront of many of the league's biggest moves in recent years, but he's certainly not adverse to ruffling feathers en route to getting what he wants. All right, the question here is, will Jerry taking a lead in these negotiations be a help or hurt the negotiations?
Oh, a big help, a huge help, in terms of both sides really thinking that they have the ally as the lead, as the spokesman. Think about it. If you're in that group of ownership, the intra group, we're talking about how Robert Kraft in 2011 really was the spokesman to get that deal done after the four-month holdout, and he can't, obviously, right now because of his legal image issues, be that guy. Jerry Jones steps in there, and what does the other side think about it, the NFLPA and the players? Well, Jerry Jones always had a little love for the players. Let's go all the way back to when the salary cap in that situation was being resolved in the early 90s, and Jerry was like, let me liquidate. Let me stay financially fluid to get Deion Sanders in the mix. You talk about the rules for Ezekiel Elliott, the rules for Dez Bryant. Jerry has always found a way to kind of blur those lines between, yeah, I'm owner, but I'm also on your side, or I understand at least your plight. I think that would do wonders for this negotiation because both sides have a healthy respect for him.
Quite frankly, both sides stand to benefit the deal getting done. So that goes without saying. I don't think it really matters if he helps it or if he hurts it. He's helping one thing and one thing only, that star brand. That's what he's working on. And he's got 4.8 billion reasons why he's being focal and everything that's going on. Now, here's another interesting point. You mentioned the other voice that took the front stage in getting these negotiations done when the last lockout took place. Who was that? Robert Kraft. Oh, that's interesting because of all the most valued and valuable franchises in the world, number one being what? Your boys in Dallas, right? Okay. Number six, which happens to be the only other American football team, mind you, on that top 10 list where the Redskins or the team in D.C. rounds it off. Number six is the New England Patriots. Yeah, there you go. So why not have them be the main voices? They have the most to gain, the most to lose in getting it done.
I read this a couple of different ways. One, Jerry and Roger Goodell had a big dispute a couple years ago or a year ago. And I think, or about Roger's contract extension. And I think part of settling that was like, Jerry's going to have a voice, a strong voice in these CBA negotiations. And Roger's going to have to deal with that and work with that, and probably agrees with that. The other thing to me, them trying to get this deal done and talking about getting it done before 2019, that's the biggest signal yet that football from the players and the owners wants to move past the whole national anthem controversy.
Mm. Yeah.
We want to just let's get this done. Let's get it before it becomes some media circus. And so I think both sides are aggressively trying to ride the wave of momentum they had off of last season and just make as much money as they can as soon as they can.
There's a lot more issues that they have to get through as well. You know, with the head and health issues that are out there. There's a decline. And if are you looking at fantasy versus looking at real-time games, there are a lot of things that the football industry as a whole has to make sure that they address moving forward. You got to be a united front.
Who better than Jerry
Jones?
That's why no one's better than Jerry Jones. One, he can show that, look, I'm about the healing in terms of my own issue with my own commissioner. Like, he basically went to war with himself because the commissioner is there to govern all the owners, all 32 of the billionaires. And then you can say, we have that in resolution. Now let's work on the other side and work in resolution. And as you said, it's not just the national anthem.
It's an image thing.
It's a CTE, yes. The player safety. It's talking about the decline in ratings at times.
Yes.
Like, all of that lets you know that this thing is still a behemoth. Mm. And let's not stop this momentum because it is difficult to restart.
For everybody.
Right. Mm. Before we go,
get that scratch.
I'd like to once again wish all of you a happy 4th of July. Today, we celebrate our nation's birthday. The celebration seems particularly important this year because social media has made it a teeny bit popular to express animus towards our country and to demonize everything from our past. The anthems and symbols of American pride that are performed and displayed before sporting events are under attack. I've even seen it debated whether Black Americans, descendants of slaves, should celebrate the 4th. This is nonsense. We have participated in every aspect of American history, the bad and the good. We helped this nation become the envy of the planet, the premier destination for people seeking a better way of life. We have an immigration crisis because people across the globe want a tiny piece of the American pie. Despite our mistakes, it's an honor to live, work, and pursue happiness here. My dad didn't graduate high school. My mom was a factory worker. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. I grew up in a working-class apartment complex on the Far East Side of Indianapolis. In 1984, as a senior in high school, I shared a 400-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment with my dad in the hood. Football took me to a college campus and lifted me out of those circumstances. Today, I get to work with Darnell Smith, a kid half my age who grew up in the same Far East Side apartment complex that I did, a kid who played football at my high school and my college, a kid with a bright future. Today, I get to work with Jimmy Dodds, one of my best friends of the last 20 years. Jimmy used to call my radio show in Kansas City. He was a carpenter turned nightclub DJ turned sheriff's department sergeant turned father of five. He's now my uncle on this TV show. Today, I get to work with Marcellus Wiley, a dude from Compton, California, who turned down football scholarships to attend and graduate from an Ivy League college. Marcellus embodies the American dream. He started out in one of the toughest places on earth and had the courage to construct a vision that got him out without selling out or giving in. America's history, like every other country, is complicated and filled with mistakes. What makes America different and worthy of celebration on the 4th and every other day is its abundance of opportunity. We should never forget our past, but I wouldn't trust the people who tell you this country's past limits your future. More Speak for Yourself after this. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Rick Bucher and Katino Mobley are back. Let's move to the Knicks, who have been viewed by many as the big loser of the NBA free agency, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving opting to join Brooklyn instead. Well, the Knicks might have missed out on the chance to land another superstar, with the New York Post reporting that the team backed out of a meeting with Kawhi Leonard, believing they had no shot after KD spurned them and not wanting to miss out on other free agents. All right, the question here is, do you blame the Knicks for backing out of a meeting with Kawhi?
I don't. Based on the circumstances that they were playing under and the cards that were dealt to them and Kawhi's patience, is not an absolute win for all. It may be great for Kawhi, but there are consequences. Sure. And one is an organization must move forward. One is other players will have to sign deals because the opportunity strikes. So I don't blame the Knicks. They just look and say we had a long shot at getting Kawhi. Once KD said no, they knew that that was even a longer shot. Let's move on.
That's exactly right. Kawhi wanted to meet with them, agreed to meet with them on the 3rd. They're looking at, once they knew that KD wasn't coming, well, what are the chances that Kawhi Leonard's going to leave a championship-caliber team to come play with the team with the worst record? Probably not going to happen. So if we wait until the 3rd, then the entire market will have dried up and we won't have anything. They sign guys to two-year deals with one-year outs, team option. They're basically keeping their powder dry for 2020 and 2021. I have no problem with what they did, especially since winning the championship and KD getting hurt changed the entire dynamic on them weeks before free agency opened.
Katino, you disagree?
No, I don't blame them. I don't blame them for backing out. I don't.
Now, before the segment, you were complaining about the Knicks.
No, listen.
Say it with your chest.
I said, what are they doing? It's for, not about Kawhi, but just about the signing. It's like they're just putting players on the team because they're available. That's all I'm saying. I wasn't saying the Kawhi. I didn't think they were going to get a superstar. They never do.
So they got – what's the problem with what they did? You got to sign somebody. You got to spend 90% of the cap.
That's why – yeah, because you got money, you got to spend the money.
Yeah.
There's not a minimum cap.
Yeah, that's not necessarily true. But my point I'm trying to make is what you have – all right, Fizz, I love him. Okay, great coach. But you have players, okay, cool. But then you're just like putting players that don't mesh well together when it comes to being on the floor. I'm saying it from an NBA player. being on the floor, I may not mesh well. I do, but other guys may not mesh well with
the gray hair wonder does.
You know what I'm saying? Playing with other people because their IQs might not be it. They should have.
They've been keeping that powder dryer since 2010, you know. Like LeBron powder dryer, like 2010.
Different administrations. I'm not going to put all that on this particular regime.
I know, but the organization.
No, I hear it.
Uncle Jimmy's here. Thoughts so far on the show?
Oh. Yeah, let's carry him get to this big dummy of the day.
Cognac. Got that cognac.
Hey, bro.
Look.
The big dummy go to anybody that come back to work on a damn holiday after you've been off for a damn month. That's my big dummy.
I didn't know.
But wait a minute. Hold it. But real quick, let me issue a public service announcement.
What?
Since you're going to just sit up here and not say nothing. Run around talking about we had a 6.6 earthquake in California. We did not. Jason Whitlock fell in the shower at Fox Studios at 10:33. The aftershock didn't take effect until 10:37. I know it for a fact.
That ain't right.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Kawhi.
I was worried about my money.
My dog coming down. Don't do that.
Kawhi leaves Toronto to join the Lakers. He won't face the level of anger directed at LeBron, but Kawhi won't reach his full potential as a basketball ambassador.
This is a guy who said, you can say nothing to me because I gave you everything. Yeah, and I think a fan base that has been this starved is going to have to sit there and respect his wishes.
I think Kawhi is going to be a little polarized and a little villainous if he comes to the Lakers. Uncle Jimmy, what's your take?
Feeling that yak over there, huh?
First of all, let me tell you something. I ain't got nothing but love for Kawhi.
There it is.
I love Kawhi like a play cousin.
Uncle Dennis.
He's smart. He's impersonable. He's got an old soul like me.
All right.
You know, he's very complimentary-tive. You know? I'm going to tell you something. I want to say that I'll be the first. Listen to me, nephew. I'll be the first to say that I stereotypicalized him regarding his cornrows, his nonchalant and lethargic way of going about basketball. You know? And right now, at this stage of the game, man, y'all trying to rush him. This brother's really trying to make some serious mythological decisions in his life.
Methodical decisions.
Methodical.
Look here. Speaking of mythologisms, listen, you ever read that story in the Bible where it talk about the old bull and the young bull?
That's colors. That ain't the Bible.
Yeah, that's not the Bible. That's the movie.
Look,
that's
I'm telling you. Listen, it's in the book of James. Hush your mouth. You just got back, darkness.
That's Pac-Man talking. Not
listen,
James.
Can I finish my story? Listen. The story is about me and Kawhi Leonard.
All right.
We the two old bulls. Merkulous, you and Jason is the two young bulls. Except Jason, in your case, you bigger than the other one, so they're going to probably call you a heifer. Now, see, here's what y'all want to do. Y'all want to run down the hill and grab one or two of the bulls.
Yeah.
If you're old school like me and Kawhi, why run? You can walk and get them all. Hey, man, all by myself. Hey, man, Kawhi got that respect like that.
Ain't no
he got
Bible.
That love amongst the community.
What Bible?
You know, and see, this is why I give respect where respect due. I give respect to little Coco Golf.
Coco.
What? The little what? Tennis girl.
Oh, yeah, 15-year-old.
Yeah, yes. I used to date her grandma. Big Nettie Mae Byers. We used to play badminton together back in the Everglades. That's where she got that serve from, I'm telling you.
Stop. Hey, man. Stop.
Hey, look here. You said that you're giggling Kawhi. When you should be Googling. Now, damn it, we won it back in 57. I'm telling you, better Google it.
We're talking about Googling. Kawhi Leonard.
Focus,
not
man.
Not you and Big Mama, whatever.
And Coco.
Nettie Mae Byers.
Yeah, I'm so. Anyway,
okay, Kawhi Leonard. We back on Kawhi.
Yes.
First of all, let me tell you something. For real, you really didn't want me to do this, but where are you going with this? You don't want to be rescued by the bad guy.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. We would prefer.
You want the good guy to save you.
Yes.
All right, work with me a little bit on this here, Merkulous. The building's on fire.
Right.
We got a choice. We want Martin Luther King or Charles Manson to come get us.
Who we
I could give less than a damn.
Either
get
or.
Get me up out this piece.
Either or. Huh? Yeah, I don't give a damn.
Hey, I don't care, and neither do you. But nope. You act like your life just started since you got to L.A. See, you forgot about the time at Diamond Joe's when Wayne Simmons was about to beat the brakes off of you.
I heard.
Wait a minute. Who jumped in and saved you?
Jumping through the air.
I God saved you.
Yeah.
And at that very moment in your life, you could have gave less than 4 flying farts in the wind, whether it was me, Andre Rison, or Ollie Gates, as long as somebody got your ass up out of there. Right or wrong.
There's a tiny kernel of truth in what you just said. You had nothing to do with
hey,
it.
Hey, look here, let me tell y'all something. On the for real, L.A. need to step their game up.
What's wrong with L.A., homie?
L.A. need to go ahead and just keep it real. They need to go ahead and offer Kawhi that leading role in that movie Joker they got coming up.
Why?
Because Kawhi already looked like a cross between Darnell and a wolf with a mouth full of yellow jackets. Then he got that little scary laugh. They need to go on and give him the role.
They already made the movie.
Hey, look here, and you know what? You can call him the bad guy. Say what you want to. Hey, what did Tony Montana tell you? Hey, you need people like me. You need people like me so you can look at me and say, there go the bad guy. You know, that's what Kawhi told Toronto. Woo! He said, hey, you see me? Yeah. It's the last time you see a bad guy like me, baby. Say goodbye to the bad guy.
Hey, look at that man, he holding no.
All right, we got very little time here.
All that Uber money.
I dropped Kawhi 2 points for dragging out this decision.
Wow,
dragging? At 82.
3 days.
He needs to just settle this.
Man, this brother's trying to take his time. He's being very mythological about this. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I got him higher than you. I'm not gonna take
He's
away
still a
points.
Goat.
Take away points for the dude making him. Was it a mythological decision? You gotta make your mythological decisions. Whatever you say.
Methodical decision. Don't let Uncle Jimmy turn you in anyway.